This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Dee Dee Smith is live in studio. She was at the meeting today in the city of Charlottesville discussing the city's future plans and the stand that they will take, the route that they will propose that the city take in the water debate. And you were actually a presenter at this meeting, correct?
I was, and thanks so much for having me, Coy. I was allowed to present a program on conservation and how it will shape Charlottesville's and the urban area's future. And I think the reason that they allowed me to do that as a citizen is that this is a piece that they just haven't been able to get a proper study for.
And what do you mean they haven't been able, in terms of conservation, they haven't?
Well, there's the whole plan, this is interesting actually, is based on something called a demand analysis. How much water are we going to need in the year 2055? And it was done back in 2004, allowed for 5% in 50 years. Says our community, compared to how we used water in the 70s, 80s, and 90s, we can expect to reduce that by about 5%, which is ridiculous. The actual use today is more like 25%. So there was just recently another review of that 2004 study, but it just failed to
What were your thoughts to that? The Urbana Water and Sewer Authority said, oh, okay, you don't like our demand analysis. We'll bring an expert to look at it. They brought in an expert. The expert said, no, this is fine. This is good. These numbers look good.
Right. Well, exactly. What happened is that Dave Norris, who sits on the Urbana Water and Sewer Authority board, was frustrated because he couldn't, there wasn't enough information about conservation, and he'd been asking and asking. So he's the one who talked them into doing it. Unfortunately, what he didn't do that the city actually has now learned they need to do is he didn't take charge of it. The studies that the city has actually been in charge of have been able to produce some really good information, but this was not the case. And so they got just a very subjective look at our community. Mostly it was interviewing a bunch of people, and the consultant came back and said, oh, sure, yeah, good for you. You've shown some conservation, but you know what? It was one time, and it's never going to happen again.
I got to get me one of them consultant jobs, Dee Dee.
I know, $25,000. I know, believe me. I mean, I'd love it.
And so you're saying the Urbana Water and Sewer Authority, which by and large has supported this 50-year water supply plan, building a tremendous new bathtub at Ragged Mountain with a pipeline from the Urbana Reservoir to fill this new bathtub, that they did this, funded this study, and this study was under their control. And not surprisingly, it came back in support of a demand analysis, which would support
building a new dam and pipeline. Yeah. No, it's absolutely true. And what's fascinating, though, Coy, is that this is the one question that drives everything. How much water are we going to need? And there's a couple reasons for that. And one is that, of course, you want to, if you're so inclined to try to guess at what's going to happen in 50 years and build something for 50 years out, which is in and of itself rather ridiculous. But if that's what you want to do, you need to know an appropriate number. So you build it big enough. But the big boondoggle here is that if you overestimate by as much as we are estimating, they're overestimating, they can't pay for it. The Urbana Water and Sewer Authority absolutely assumes an increase in water sales, therefore an increase in water use, and that's what we're not seeing. We're going to be stuck with a debt we can't pay.
We're talking with Dee Dee Smith, and the phone lines are open. 977-1070 is the phone number. So what happened today at that meeting?
Well, it was interesting, and this is, City Council has commissioned a number of new studies, and so this was an opportunity to review all of the new information as well as just to review kind of the basis for the plan so the City Council can prepare to make a decision, which I suspect will be at earliest to the end of September and maybe into October. There is a public hearing coming up. Second meeting, it's September 20th, second council meeting in September 20th, Monday night.
And that's a public hearing. The public can come and speak and share their thoughts about this whole water thing.
About the water supply plan.
Yeah.
And
this has to do with the city's position on it, because the city will then go to the county and say, well, this is what we want to do.
Exactly. And the reason that the city has so much say over this is that they own all the assets. They own all the reservoirs that are being discussed in this plan. They don't own all the reservoirs. The county owns reservoirs, but the county hasn't exactly put up their own assets in this plan. The Sugar Hollow Reservoir, the Ragged Mountain Reservoir, and the South Fork Ravanna Reservoir are all owned by the city. And actually, quite frankly, the city has paid historically for most of these assets. So they have a lot to say about what happens to
them. And it's really interesting.
The city is not only not growing. As I showed them today in my conservation presentation, the city alone, if you just look at it alone, take out UVA, take out the county, the city's water use is down more than 30%. And it's very stable. They're not growing, and they're not going to grow. There is no real prospect for increase in water use in the city. Therefore, there's no big prospect for increase in revenue for water. The only way you can pay off your water bill at this point is to increase the rates.
Dee Dee Smith is with us, and the phone lines are open at 977-1070. One of the things I have never understood in this whole conversation, and we've been talking about this for years, never understood, number one, that we would build something so huge that we don't have the money for. I don't get that.
I don't either.
And number two, that we're looking to build a public works project for a community that would exist 50 years from now. When else do we ever do something like that?
That's it.
We're not building a road network for what Charlottesville might look like in 2060. We're not building public housing for what Charlottesville might look like, you know, what the poor with the situation with public housing and Section 8 housing in 2060. We're not building an airport for a community in 2060. Why are we building a water supply plan for this imagined community that might exist in 2060?
Exactly. And actually, Richard Lloyd had a really good analogy to this. We know what the projected population is. We know we're going to need a new school, or 5 or 10. So would we build that school today?
Bingo.
In anticipation of students?
Bingo.
Yeah.
This gets back to what I think is the real motivation here. This water supply plan was born when the growth and the housing was booming, when the economy was booming and the growth was booming, and you have a lot of interest in the development interest in the community on the part of builders and realtors and related fields who are like, we can't keep growing if we don't have better infrastructure as soon as possible to ensure that all these new neighborhoods have the water that we need for them. I think it has more to do with immediate growth plans than it does for some imagined Charlottesville Albemarle in 2060. I mean, and I'm not trying to be a conspiracy theorist or anything, but I think it's sort of obvious on the face of it.
Well, and that may be, but there's actually a larger point here, and that is that we do anticipate growth, and we accept that this growth will happen. And in fact, their growth projections have been spot on. I mean, it's about, what is it, a little over 1% a year, and that, in fact, has played out. But what's more important, the point of my presentation, is we are using water differently. Therefore, per capita, we are using much less water than the projections built into it. So it's not that we won't grow. It's not that we can't grow. It's just that we're growing more slow. The water use is growing more slowly than the population is.
Now, what do you say to folks who say, well, go ahead and build it? So what if you overbuild? Then you got a water supply plan for the next 100, 150 years.
But you can't pay for it. And because they're planning on paying it for it through increased water sales. And that is the point here, is that their projections for water sales are already way off. They're increasing their rates. The city has had to subsidize water rates the past couple of years because water sales are going. We're not using as much water. Our water reduction is such that it's not keeping up with the increases within population, for one thing. But you can't anticipate that you'll have enough money to pay it off. Then what do? You have a huge infrastructure you don't need, but you have debt that you can't pay.
Yeah. We're talking with Dee Dee Smith, and phone lines are open, 977-1070. Richard with us. Richard, go right ahead.
Yeah, Coy, how are you today?
Good. Go right ahead, real quick.
Okay, real quick on the school analogy. why would you build extra schools? Well, even today, why would you build extra schools if we had classrooms full of junk that we could dredge out and put students in? Why would you build an extra school and leave the classrooms full of junk?
Yeah.
Are you following this, Coy?
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, Richard, I didn't give your full analogy. And of course, what he's referring to is dredging the reservoir. We have a lot of infrastructure that is already, that exists. And if we, in some cases, just what we need to do is restore it.
Let me ask you this. At the meeting you went to do today at the city where you presented, did you get a feel for any sentiment on the part of any of the city council members about how they might want to proceed?
Well, you know, mostly they ask questions, so I would really have to read into their questions, but they ask some very good questions. One of the questions, and I believe Kristen Sakis asked it, is it was about cost share, is how much will the city have to pay for this? Because if it is about county, much of it is about county growth. It's not all about county growth. There is some maintenance. And and I can't believe that the county isn't asking this, is not only in the next 5 years, but in the next 30 years, what is the bill going to look like? They can anticipate that, but nobody's talking about it. And cost share means how they're going to split the cost between the city and the county. The county will bear a greater burden, but the city will still bear some burden. And if we don't need this huge infrastructure, if we can restore what we have, we can use a lot of the available resources we already have that we're not taking into account, then nobody has to bear those costs. Either city or the county. But anyway, so that was one question that was very, very good. I think Ms. Sakis also brought up phasing. And phasing is such that you build it, you don't build it all at once. You build it such that you can add to it if you need to. And she brought up the very idea that, well, maybe if we start to phase it, we can see what happens with the demand. Because there is enough evidence that the amount of water we're going to need is really not as high as they think it is, and that by phasing it, it might not in the long run be more economical, but it certainly is for the ratepayers who exist today.
But you know what? If we had started dredging back when we started debating,
good point.
Where would we be now? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's not that dredging is so incredibly expensive; it's just not.
Right.
And if we had just been doing a little bit of dredging here and there, even in the last 5 years.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, we could just, it's just, you know.
Right. And that's another one of Richard, who just called's points, is that not only should we have been doing it, but we can start doing that now. We can just dredge a little bit at a time and keep up. If we keep up, right now we have plenty of water. And, you know, if we allow that South Fork to silt in, and, you know, if in fact we do have more growth in water use, there will come a point at which we will, not have enough in case of a drought. Again, it's only in case of a drought. We're not talking about where we get our daily water. We have tons of water in this
community. And that's the point that's so lost in this whole debate, that people that might be looking at it in a cursory fashion, you know, so much media coming at them all day long, so much information, they glance at this story and they think, are we running out of water? We're not running out of water.
No, we're not.
This entire
out of water.
Water controversy, all of this stuff, is just for drought water.
Right.
It's exactly. Backup water.
Exactly. Exactly.
Although it's also a little bit of growth water, too. I mean, it really does have some growth water in there as well, right?
Well, in theory,
or again,
the
is that just
River,
my conspiracy theory that the developers want more water so they can build more neighborhoods theory?
Well, it is also about stream flow. I mean, in all honesty, it's about drawing where, having available water in different places such that in dry seasons, you can choose to pull water from one place or another and allow more water to go over into the streams. But as I pointed out today, if we want to preserve stream flow, the best investment we can make is in water conservation, because whatever amount of water you don't pull out of your streams to drink is the water that stays in the stream.
We're talking with Dee Dee Smith. Dee Dee, thank you for being here with the update of the meeting held
Thanks
in the
so
city
much.
Today. I appreciate it.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SeavillePodcast.com for more.